Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten time for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. Amen. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, and to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord,
to draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayers, to give abundant blessing to all works of mercy, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In Christian freedom, those who desire may come forward for action. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remembering that we are dust, and to dust you shall return, confess the Ten Commandments and our sins. Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Remember the Sabbath day, thy keeping it holy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from the book of the prophet Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and let the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make your name a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions.
and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight.
So that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being,
and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones that you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence,
and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways,
and sinners will return to you.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation.
And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it.
You will not be pleased with a burnt offering.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Do good to Zion in your good pleasure.
Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and the whole burnt offerings.
Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the fifth chapter. Brothers, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return to the Lord your God.
For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfastness.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 6, I'll reread a few verses. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And when you fast, do not look gloomy. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is our text. What is the season of Lent for? Lent encourages us to engage in reflection. That admonition at the very beginning of the service mentioned prayerful and penitential reflection. But when we talk about reflection, I don't think that we should think of Lent as a time simply for self-reflection. What good will it do for us just to look at ourselves again? Not much, I think. If we look closely enough at ourselves, no doubt we'll see the thoughts and words and deeds of which we are rightly ashamed. We'll see that too often we've lived as if we mattered most. That we have not loved the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That our love for others has failed. There are some whom we've hurt. There are others whom we've failed to help. I will say this, that Lent is not a bad time if you know of someone that you've hurt or someone that you've failed to help to go and ask forgiveness and hear them speak in Jesus' name that your sins are forgiven. But on the whole, turning inward isn't the answer and isn't the point of Lent. Self-help, I think, turns out not to be much help. And self-pity and self-loathing are even worse. So reflecting on ourselves isn't the fix that we need. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. So confess your sins and be done with it. And don't turn Lent into yet another thing that's all about you. On the other hand, we could ask, are there any practices that can help us in this season of Lent? Are there any practices that we could engage in that will help us to turn away from ourselves and toward others? And the answer is yes. Jesus gives us three things. He speaks about fasting and prayer and giving to the needy. And Jesus speaks about these things with the assumption that his disciples, that we Christians, will do these things. He also provides a warning. He warns against fasting or giving or praying in such a way that we are trying to show off our righteousness or in order to receive applause from others. If you're getting applause from others, then you have your reward. The only reward we need is the one that our Father in heaven will provide. And I love how in this passage of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about your Father who is in heaven. What a wonderful description. This means that we are his own dear and true children, that he loves us. Your Father in heaven sees what is done in secret. Even when the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, the Father in heaven knows. So let what we do be motivated not by what others will think or by what others will say, but simply by this, by our desire to honor and to please our Father. Today, Jesus calls us back to the life we have through holy baptism. As you come forward to communion today, I encourage you to think about the baptismal font that you'll be walking past. Reclaim your identity from those waters. The purpose of Lent is to renew us. So what do we find reflected when we look into the baptismal water? We find our Heavenly Father's voice declaring us to be his dearly loved children. We find our brother Jesus marking us, marking us with his saving cross and resurrection. We find the Holy Spirit giving us a new holy life that will have no end. The three practices that Jesus describes of fasting, giving, and praying support this new life. They are practices meant to flow from faith, and they are meant to flow with love. And I want to think about each of them briefly for a minute. We'll start with fasting. What's the point? Fasting begins with an honest assessment of our own sinful nature. Too often we do things that we don't want to do, or we don't do things that we do want to do. The reality is that our sinful nature is hanging around. And to fight against our sinful desires, our fleshly appetites need to be trained. How do we train them? We train them through self-denial. We learn to say no, even to things that may be fine in themselves, so that we are better equipped to say no to things that are wrong. We see the exact opposite of fasting with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were told to fast from one of the trees in the garden, that they were not to eat of the fruit of that tree. But when it appeared to them to be pleasing in their eyes, when it appealed to their appetites, they turned inward and they followed those desires. And now we, their children, are being trained by Jesus in the opposite way, to turn away from those appetites and to keep them in check. Fasting isn't easy, and fasting isn't for everyone at every stage of life, but it can be a good teacher. It can teach us to hunger, not just for the food that perishes, but for every word that comes from the mouth of God. What we need more than bread is the living bread that comes down from heaven, Jesus himself. And Jesus also practiced fasting. It's always a good thing when someone is a teacher if they practice what they preach, and Jesus did this. You might remember the 40 days that he spent in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Or you can consider his last day, his betrayal and crucifixion. As you read through the Passion of our Lord, when is the last time that he eats something? Isn't it at the supper that he has with his disciples, when he celebrated the Passover? And then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he's arrested. And the last drink that he has is in response to his cry of, "I thirst," and he uses that drink to cry out, "It is finished." Our Lord Jesus Christ denied his fleshly appetites, not sinful appetites, but fleshly appetites, to pursue his goal of serving us, of laying down his life for us. Fasting doesn't necessarily mean the complete abstinence from food, although it can. It might mean simply fewer meals or smaller portions, or refraining from rich foods and desserts and delicacies. You could perhaps even extend the fast into other areas of your life. Fasting is kind of what we are putting away from us. On the other hand, the second practice that Jesus speaks about is the practice of giving. As opposed to what we can't enjoy or may set aside for the season of Lent, giving deals with the positive side. It's about being generous. Charity for the poor and needy, above and beyond support for the church and ministry, is what Jesus is speaking about. It begins by looking around to the needs of others around us. You might ask yourself during these 40 days of Lent, whom can I help? Whom can I bless? Perhaps you may even consider that denying yourself a meal or some of your food opens the opportunity to be generous with others. And if you do not have the money to give, consider giving your time or your energy. Who might have a need or a way that you can serve? And of course, this is also exactly what Jesus himself did. Not with money. Jesus had no silver or gold. And when he went to the cross, even the clothes on his own back were taken from him. He had nowhere to lay his head. So what did he give? He gave the one thing he had to give: his entire life, and body, for you and for me. Our Lord, who fasted from food for 40 days, then went and gave himself for the life of the world, and he gives himself to you again today. You might practice giving by setting aside what you would have spent on yourself and offering that to another. Here at church, we have our benevolence fund. In town, there's neighbors helping neighbors. You may know of needs among your family and friends around you. You could consider helping a pregnancy resource center, sending a note to someone who is sick. If you need ideas, just ask. The third practice that Jesus encourages is the practice of prayer. Prayer acknowledges the reality of life in this world. We are in a fight, and our sinful nature and the devil and the world stand against us, and we are recognizing by prayer that we cannot win the battle ourselves. We turn to our Father in heaven. We need his help. We need his support. The scriptures speak in many places about prayer, things like pray without ceasing, or by prayer and supplication and intercession and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, praying for kings and those who are in high places. Jesus encourages us even to pray for our enemies. This is the voice of faith, the voice that calls out of our own need, out of our own lack of having what is necessary for life in this world. And we ask for our Father's help. Jesus, of course, is an example of prayer. He did that throughout his ministry, but particularly when we think of his last day. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knelt down and he prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." From the cross, can you imagine this? Having the ability while being crucified to pray. Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then his last prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I encourage you to look at Lent as a time to pray. Again, not to pray in order to impress someone else or to impress your Father in heaven, but rather to take the life that you've been given in Christ and use it in service to your neighbor. I'm sure you can think of a half dozen things immediately that you could be praying for. Make a list of family or friends or others. Use the prayer list from church. Set it next to your bed or on the bathroom sink or the kitchen table, someplace where you will see it. Pick it up each day. Add to it as you need to. Give thanks to God as your prayers are answered. Let us take up these practices that Jesus gives us, fasting and giving and prayer, not because we earn some favor with God by them, but because we already have his favor through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what we are called to reflect on this Lenten season is not ourselves, not even on our own sin, but rather on our dear Father in heaven and his love for us, and his Son, whom he gave into death for us, and on the Spirit, whom he pours out on us to strengthen us now. Your Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself out of love and care for you. The same Jesus who fasted, who gave, and who prayed. The Jesus who encourages us in these practices now. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look at this season of Lent as a time and opportunity for you to reflect the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just as the moon receives light from the sun and reflects it to us. May we receive the light of the Holy Trinity and reflect it to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul.
Look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and preserve us all faithful to the end. Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Behold in mercy all who are sick, who suffer, and who rejoice. Be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.